Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the time we can share together. We pray that you would enlighten our hearts and that we would apply the words we have heard in our own lives. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're in our Bible Studies for Life series. And for those of you who have the book, you can follow along with us. And we're looking at the essentials of Christianity. Our study tonight is the nature of sin. And the point of our study is that we are sinners, and on our own, we can do nothing about it. Now, when you talk to most people, they'll tell you something like, "Yo, well, I'm pretty good." And what happens is we tend to measure other people's conduct using our own rule. "Well, I'm no angel, but compared to so-and-so, I think I'm pretty good." But you know what? The Bible doesn't allow for that kind of thinking. God is the standard by which we are judged. And we fall really short of God's holiness and His perfection. Even if we turn over a new leaf, attempt to do better, we really are going to fail to measure up. Nobody has to teach us how to say no, do they? It's something we are born with. And when we do that, when we say no, we're rejecting the authority of whoever it is who is giving us the command. And I'm not just talking about your parents when you were growing up. I'm talking about God. God says, and we don't do it. We are really adept at rejecting God's authority, saying no to what He wants, doing what we want instead. It's called sin, missing the mark. And we're born with a nature that leads us to sin. And the Bible's very clear that when we disobey God, there is a punishment that's involved. Thankfully, God didn't leave us in this state. We're in Isaiah chapter 59. And it tells about Israel's return from exile. Particularly, it calls the nation to repent of the sin and to receive God's loving forgiveness. So let me read, beginning in chapter 59 of Isaiah, beginning in verse 1. "Listen, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save you, nor is His ear too deaf to hear your call. It's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, He has turned away and will not listen anymore. Your hands are the hands of murderers. Your fingers are filthy with sin. Your lips are full of lies, and your mouth spews corruption. No one cares about being fair and honest. The people's lawsuits are based on lies. They conceive evil deeds, and they give birth to sin. They hatch deadly snakes and weave spiders' webs. Whoever eats their eggs will die. Whoever cracks them will hatch a viper." I think you get the idea that God doesn't want to have anything to do with sin. Now, let's think back. What is sin? Go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve deliberately obeyed God's order not to eat of a certain tree. And as a result, God sent them from Eden, and they were separated from God's presence. Death. Separation. Previously, they'd been able to walk and to talk in the cool of the day with God, just like family. But now they never would be able to be back in Eden again. From that point on, the relationship with God had been damaged. Now, some people will say that's a little harsh, isn't it? I mean, just eating a piece of fruit? God did all of that? Well, the issue is far greater than that, folks. The issue was their disobedience. Their disobedience. They were rejecting God's authority over them and declaring their independence from Him. "I don't care what you say, God. I'm going to do what I want to do." Sin is what we do when we place our desires, our agendas, or ourselves above God. No one can justify our sins by saying, "At least I'm not as bad as so-and-so." But you know what the exciting thing is? God has a remedy. Isaiah 51 or 59:1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear." But you know what? Our sin is the barrier. God really does want to save us. But in verse 2, he said, "Your sins, your iniquities have separated you between you and your God." Now go to verse 6, says, "Their webs can't be made into clothing, and nothing they do is productive. All their activity is filled with sin, and violence is their trademark. Their feet run to do evil, and they rush to commit murder. They think only about sinning. Misery and destruction always follow them. They don't know where to find peace or what it means to be just and good. They have mapped out crooked roads, and no one who follows them knows a moment's peace." That is to say, all of that is to say, we cannot cover up our sinful works. Because on our own, folks, we are completely unable to repair the damage that sin does in our lives. In fact, a little bit later in Isaiah, in chapter 64, verse 6, Isaiah said, "All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight." We can't just do one more good thing to outweigh the bad things and then call our relationship good. We can't do it. All of us have made mistakes and done things that we shouldn't have. But we normally see ourselves as basically as good people, don't we? It's interesting that in a study of Americans who viewed sin, Lifeway did a research, and here's what they found, which is amazing. 10% don't believe sin exists. These are Americans. 8% believe they're not sinners. 5% acknowledge that they are sinners, but they're okay with it. They don't really care too much about it. 34% know they're sinners, but they're working to be less of a sinner. How about that? 28% look to Jesus to help them with their sins. And 23% won't even acknowledge that sin's a problem. 34% think they can fix it on their own. I guess the question comes up, why all this unbelief? Well, Isaiah 59:8 says, "We have made our own paths crooked. We have laid the road we walk on, and we can't straighten it out." Now, beginning in verse 9, Isaiah says, "So there is no justice among us, and we know nothing about right living. We look for light, but we only find darkness. We look for bright skies, but walk in gloom. We grope like the blind along a wall, feeling our way like people without eyes. Even at the brightest noontime, we stumble as though we were in the dark. Among the living, we are like the dead. We growl like hungry bears. We moan like mournful doves. We look for justice, but it never comes. We look for rescue, but it's far away from us. For our sins are piled up before God and testify against us. Yes, yet we know we're sinners. We know we have rebelled and have denied the Lord. We have turned our backs on God. We know how unfair and oppressive we have been, carefully planning our deceitful lies." Now, folks, Isaiah is writing there to people who are spiritually dead. They've been given over completely to the addiction of sin. And he describes those people in verse, we grope like blind along the wall, feeling our way like people without eyes, even at the brightest noontime. We growl like hungry bears and we moan like mournful doves. You see, Isaiah told us why we are like this. Our sins are piled up before God and testify against us. Instead of improving ourselves, as many people really think they can do, their sins were only growing and multiplying. They couldn't hide who they were. Folks, it's the same with us. I mean, nothing has changed. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, and he said, "And you hath he made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world." Folks, what hope did dead people have? Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We are terminally ill with sin, without hope of getting better on our own. We can't do anything to revive our dead hearts. Before we came to Christ, we were all in the same boat, spiritually dead, slaves to sin. We stood no chance of paying it back or working our way out of it. But I'm so glad that's not the end of the story, folks. A few verses later, Isaiah would say in verse 16 that God saw the people's plight and his arm brought salvation. In fact, Paul pointed to the same thing again in Ephesians chapter 2. He said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love where he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, has made us alive together with Christ. For by grace are you saved. You see, on our own, we were less than powerless. We were blind people stumbling down the street, dead people with no hope of revival. We couldn't clean ourselves up from sin. And it was God who took the first step toward us. It was God who delivered a way for us to be free from our sins. It was God who made it so our relationship could be repaired. Without salvation from sin, we are completely without hope. But as we'll see in our next session, called The Death of Jesus, his death breathed hope and life into our dismal condition. Those who are saved by God's grace should consider what we should do with the truth that we are prone to sin. Now remember this, being tempted is not sin, but it can easily lead to sin, so you have to be careful. We're all sinners by nature, we're all sinners by practice. God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. Here's the remedy, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? All right, that's going to end our series for tonight. Next week, we're going to be looking at the death of Jesus. It'll be on page 48 in your books if you have them. We're so thankful that you were able to be with us tonight. You know what, folks? God is good all the time. Sunday's coming. We'll see you then.